Hello, you're listening to the podcast of Bay Ridge Christian Church. Each Sunday, our aim is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ from the text of the Bible and to catalyze the hearts of our hearers to love and gratitude towards God and all of His creation. We hope you enjoy this teaching, and we pray that you will be encouraged to trust in Jesus today.
Woman at the well, and it says this, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am He." So today, as you can tell from the title and from our passage, I'm going to be talking a little bit about worship. So when I first started teaching at the youth group, I think my second teaching ever was on worship. So I'm kind of bringing that back for this teaching. So it's something that's really near and dear to me. You may know that I play piano. I've been on the worship team a couple times. So worship really is just an amazing thing. I'm glad to be talking about it. So the first question I have is, well, what is worship? And I mean, that's obvious. It's when we come here on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and we sing a bunch of songs together. I mean, that's what we call worship. And yes, but actually no. That's called a meme, and that one's for the youths. So we're going to see why we call that section of our meeting worship, but if we just use that as our definition of what worship is, we really miss out on so much. Because there is a lot more to worship than simply just singing songs. And I see some of you are nodding. You agree with me. That's good. You may even be thinking, well, I already know that. But there's also like prayer and reading the Bible and even coming together as a group. That's worship. And yes, but actually no. When we're singing a song, all we're doing is putting notes to a melody. Some of us do it better than others. But all you're doing is vibrating your vocal cords to produce sound, and then our ears can pick it up and our brain processes it. And then as far as reading the Bible goes, I've had plenty of mornings where my alarm goes off, I hit snooze maybe a couple times, and then I read my Bible. And there's also scholars that will take the Bible and just read it as literature. And I'm going to talk about in a little bit why it's important that we do these things, but what I want to make clear in the beginning is that these things aren't the essential of worship. In other words, these actions that we do are not what makes worship, worship. And we see in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 through 9, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. He says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." So in this text, we see that they're doing the actions right. They're saying the things they're supposed to say. It even says that they're worshiping. So couldn't we think, you know, why isn't that enough for God? I mean, that they're doing what they're supposed to. That should be enough. And that's because God isn't looking for specific actions. What God is looking for is to draw near. He's after your heart. And that's why when we come to worship, our heart has to be in it. So what happens when I pray or I read my Bible or I sing songs of praise, but my heart isn't in it? It loses most of its value. Did I retain anything from my reading? Am I closer to God in my relationship with Him after my prayer? If my heart's not in it, then not really. And I can tell you that because I've lived it out. And these things are very good. They're great even. But when it comes to worship, they are completely secondary to worshiping with all of my heart, with all of my being. And we call that section of our morning meeting worship when we sing songs because that is what it is supposed to lead to. singing those songs, being as a congregation meeting together, is supposed to lead us to having our heart and all of our being into worship. And also what we do physically has an effect on our worship. What do I mean by that? What I mean is when I pray, if I'm going to pray and I'm watching a movie or I'm about to fall asleep, chances are I'm not really going to have a deep conversation with the Lord. And again, ask me how I know. I've slept through plenty of movies and plenty of prayer times. And the Bible does tell us that we are to pray continually. But what we do physically has an effect on that prayer. There's a reason why we stand up when we pray together. We close our eyes and bow our heads. And for me personally, if I'm praying before I go to sleep, which is a great habit, I would highly recommend it. What I like to do is I sit up in my bed. So instead of laying down, I sit up as it's time to pray. That tells my body, hey, it's time to pray right now. It's not time to go to sleep yet. And then, usually, I don't have such an empty prayer. I don't fall asleep halfway through it. And I can give worship through that prayer. And the reason that these physical actions have an effect on our worship is because we are made up of both a physical and a non-physical being. So we're two distinct people that make up the one person. So our physical, we know that's our flesh. It's like my skin and bones, the atoms I'm made up of, that's my physical self. And while my non-physical, that's things like my thoughts or my personality or my conscience. We often hear that called our soul or our spirit. So we're made up of these two people that are tied together. And because they're tied together, it's important to have them working together. At least it's a lot easier to give worship if our bodies and our souls are working together instead of in conflict. And we're called to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So we see here that we have to give our bodies to God. And this is a key part of true and proper worship. This might seem a little bit silly to us. Like, I'm supposed to give my body to Christ during worship? Am I supposed to be, like, clapping my hands and waving my arms all around? And the answer is kind of. We'll get to that in a little bit. But if you are not, or you're refusing to offer your body as a sacrifice to the Lord, Paul tells us that this is not true and proper worship. So we're called to sacrifice our bodies, worship through our bodies, but we're also called to worship in spirit. And that was in our main text this morning. I'll read it again. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." So something we can pull from this text is that where exactly we worship isn't important. We don't have somewhere specific we're told to worship. And the other thing is that if we want to be worshipers that God desires, which, speaking from myself, I certainly want to be, we have to worship both in spirit and in truth. And since God is in spirit, we have to worship him in spirit. And like I said earlier, if our spirit and our bodies are tied together, then worshiping in spirit should also have some sort of effect on our physical being. In the same way, the other way around, our physical being has some sort of effect on our spiritual. Like I said, at least it's much easier to worship when your body and soul are working together than when they're in conflict. So just for an example, worshiping here on Sunday mornings, if I'm sitting down in my chair, I'm slouched over, my arms are crossed, much like I was a lot when I was a little kid growing up, how easy is it for me to give worship that's pleasing to God? I mean, it's certainly not impossible, but it's unlikely. On the contrary, what if I'm standing up, my arms are outstretched, I'm reading the lyrics, I'm thinking about them in my mind, I'm singing them out? How easy is it for me to give worship that's pleasing to God? I mean, it's not guaranteed, but certainly very likely. When we're worshiping, we're connecting with God through Spirit, and in that, we are dwelling in His presence. If you've ever been in God's presence or you felt the Spirit moving around, as we do here a lot, you know just how great and amazing it is. And as Christians, we should be longing for those moments. So if you're struggling to connect with that Spirit when we're here on Sunday morning or any time you're worshiping, I would suggest to check your physical self. What are you doing? And if it's easier for you to connect with the Spirit by standing still, by closing your eyes and meditating, really clearing your mind so you can focus on God, then do that. If you connect with the Spirit more by running around, jumping up and down, and making a bunch of noise, raising your hands and clapping them, then do that. God made all of us differently. He made each of us unique, and each of us have our own personal, individual relationship with the Lord. So our worship is going to look different from each other. And if you come and you're not really feeling the worship, I don't mean to sound mean or offensive, but it's not about you. It's about the Lord. You have to check your heart and remember that worship is not just a passive experience. You have to actively participate in it. And if we're doing that, then true worship calls on the Holy Spirit. And then when the Spirit comes, we can surrender ourselves to it and let it do what it needs to do. To worship is to surrender. When we surrender ourselves both in body and in soul, we surrender those to God, we're letting Him have complete control. It's taking a step back and saying, Lord, Your will be done. Have Your way, not mine. And when we're doing that, that is when we are closest to Him. I mean, how great does that sound? To be close with the Creator, to be close with God, that's what we want. Another thing about the Holy Spirit is that it rejuvenizes our faith. Think about a time, if you have one, where you've connected with the Spirit. How did you feel afterwards? Do you feel bad? No. It might have brought up some sin you had in your heart that you've pushed back, you're trying to ignore and forget, and that doesn't always feel great. But the Spirit does give us the power to overcome those things. The Spirit is an amazing thing. And that's why it's so important that we rejuvenate regularly. That's why we have a weekly Sunday service where we can gather with fellow believers. That's why we have these different connect groups. That's why we have the youth group. That's why we have events where we can come together and fellowship and be with the community. And all these things are so important to be rejuvenated, but really, you should have a daily connection with your relationship with God. If I wake up on a Sunday morning, like I did today, I had breakfast. Had some donuts, it was very good. And then, I mean, if I could just go until next Sunday without eating, that would be so nice. I would get so much done. I mean, I have to prepare the food or I have to figure out where I want to eat, and then actually eating that food takes a little while. And then I have to clean up after myself sometimes. But I could get so much done if I just didn't have to do that. But let's say I did actually try to go a week without eating, what would happen? I'd be hungry. I can tell you I had breakfast this morning, and already I'm looking forward to when we get out of here and I can go eat lunch. So if I can't go more than a couple hours without feeding my physical body, then how could I go without feeding my spirit? We need to be feeding our spirit daily. And when we're doing this, that is worship. And we know that God is the ultimate food. He is the bread of life, the living water. He's an all-you-can-eat buffet, if you will. So let's not let our spirit go hungry. Another thing that worship leads to is worship leads to peace. I want to read Psalm 23, and it says this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So, we know that having peace does not mean you have no problems. And even in this psalm, it says, we're going through the darkest of valleys. It's bound to happen in this life. You're going to have problems. And that peace comes in when you're having those problems to let the Lord handle them. When you're trusting in him to get you through this darkest valley. So now I'll ask, how often do you have problems? All the time. Every day, multiple times a day, relentlessly. So, if you're having problems or you're struggling with sin daily, so should worship be a daily refresh. And that is why worship is a lot more than just simply singing songs as a group. It is a lifestyle that allows the Spirit to allow Jesus to live through you. And we see the effects of this in Galatians chapter 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we already talked about how we're supposed to worship God in spirit. And if we are actually doing that, we are going to have these fruits. We're going to have that love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're going to have those things show up in our lives. And these are great things, amazing things. If you look at me and you tell me that you'd be better off without love, joy, and peace, I'd kind of laugh and tell you you're mentally insane. These are great things. But also in that passage, we see that worship takes sacrifice. To live by the Spirit, to walk with the Spirit, means living apart from our flesh. And this isn't the flesh like our skin and bones, the stuff we're made of. The flesh we're talking about in this passage is our wicked, sinful human nature. So to live by the Spirit is to live apart from that. And that is not easy to do. There may be times where you don't feel like worshiping at all. But let me tell you, there is a very big difference when I wake up and I have a quiet time and I spend time in the Word and praying with God. There's a big difference in those days than the ones where I hit snooze and read my Bible. You probably don't want to be around me those days. I know it's certainly a struggle. But the closer relationship you have with God, then the more you recognize just how amazing he is. The more you know him, the more you realize how great he is and how you become more willing to sacrifice yourself, to surrender yourself to him. So you can't worship someone you don't know. That is why it's important for us to be doing those things like reading the Word and praying to build a relationship and singing songs and gathering together. These things are important because it builds relationship with God so we can know who he is so that we can really worship him. So at the very root of Christianity is worship. We're saved through Jesus Christ. We live by the Holy Spirit, and through that life, we're able to give worship. At least that's how it should be. Because you may know that as people, we tend to worship things other than God. And this isn't good. We see in Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It's kind of hard to mess that one up. I don't think you can translate that any way to get around it. So whatever we have that we spend most of our time, most of our focus, most of our energy, whatever we devote ourselves to, that replaces God as the number one in our lives. And that's exactly what the scripture is telling us not to do. And for me, I'm guilty of it. If you've known me for maybe more than a day, you know that I really like motorcycles. I love riding them, I love working on them. They're just great, I love researching them. But the point I'm trying to make here is that oftentimes the things that we worship, they are gifts from God. They are His creation. So we take the creation and place it above the Creator. That's twisted. That's not how it's supposed to be. When we worship things, we devote ourselves to them and we declare them as worthy of our worship. But how worthy is our God? I mean, how worthy is our God? Motorcycles are cool and all. I love riding them, but can they save my soul? How worthy is our God of our worship? In case you don't know, let me tell you just how worthy He is. First things, He created the universe. Everything from the smallest atoms to all the galaxies, He made all of it. And I could just stop there. That's worthy of worship. But God didn't stop there. He created humanity. Me and you, He made all of us so that we could rule over this creation with Him. And if you know the story, you know that we fell. We rebelled against Him. We wanted to make ourselves like God. We wanted to be our own gods. And then through that came this wickedness, this destruction, this death. But God so loved the world so much that He had a plan. He had a plan to bring us out of that. And ultimately, that plan would allow us as humanity to be ruling there with Him again forever and ever. But we know this plan came at a cost, the cost of Jesus Christ. He suffered, and He died on the cross. But how worthy is our God, because the grave could not hold Him. Amen. Jesus was victorious over death. He took the wrath of God, all so that you and me could have just the chance, just the opportunity to have faith in Him, to give ourselves to Him, just the chance. How worthy is our God? If you really realize what Jesus has gone through, what He has done for you, you know just how worthy He is of worship. If we worship what we declare is worthy, how worthy is our God? So we have something to worship. As great as motorcycles are, they're not quite as worthy as the Almighty God. So before we come up to the table, we got a couple of things. I just want to define real quickly what worship is, and specifically what is Christian worship. And I've come up with this, that worship is surrendering my body and soul to connect with God, dwelling in His presence and living in peace. Right? And this is both through our physical and our non-physical. But it looks different for each of us. Like I was saying, my worship will look very different than Marty's worship. I think that's to be expected. But it's something that unifies all of us in Christ. Our worship may look different, but what we are worshiping, why we are worshiping, is all the same. So let's give our worship to our worthy God. We do this worshiping in spirit and in truth, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all of our strength. So as we get ready to head out of here today, first of all, as we close, I'd suggest that you spend a couple minutes talking to someone you don't know, maybe someone you do know. But then as we leave out of here, I would encourage you, turn on the radio. Listen to some worship music, some songs of praise. You got 91.9, 95.1, 107.3. You got Spotify. You got YouTube. You got iTunes. We have easy access to it. You can listen to an audiobook. You can listen to the Bible. We have plentiful ways we could be worshiping just on our car ride home. I love worshiping in my car. I love worshiping in the shower. My family can tell you I like to sing in the shower. So I'd encourage you to listen to that music. Really think about and listen to the lyrics. Remember that if you come near to God, God will come near to you. And how worthy and how great is our God. So let's worship him together. So now we'll come to the table. Bobby's going to lead us in communion. And then as you pray, really think about what does worship look like in my life? How can I be worshiping more? And is my worship true and proper? And let the Spirit lead you, let it guide you in your prayer, and bring whatever it needs to bring up to it, and then surrender to it. With that, we'll take communion.
Amen. Praise God. Yes. Yes, God is good. God is good. Amen. Thank you, brother. That was good. He talked about having a good breakfast this morning. Did we have a good breakfast this morning? Amen. Praise God. We had a good spiritual breakfast this morning. Yeah. Now we don't have to eat for... Okay. Maybe I didn't listen to the message. We're going to turn it serious now. We're going to the table. And it is a table of worship. And... communion is our time to reflect upon God, to come to him, to sit with him. Communion means be one. It comes from the word that means to be one with him, to be one with one. And so as we get prepared, we're going to pray. I'm going to say that if you are a member of God's church, you are welcome to take communion with us. You don't have to be a member of Bay Ridge Christian Church. If you have not surrendered your life and to the Lordship of Christ, you just let the elements pass. Those of you that aren't familiar, when the ushers come around, there are two cups in each section. Take both cups out of the section. One has bread and one has the juice. And the other thing is if you need gluten-free option, just let the ushers know, and they have gluten-free for you. Let us pray first. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, Lord, and in a worthy manner magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Prepare your hearts to commune with God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of your tender mercy did give your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one sacrifice of himself, once for all, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, payment for and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father. We most humbly seek after you and grant that we, receiving your gifts of bread and wine, according to your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed blood and body, who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink all this. This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink all of it. It's shed for many. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul said, "As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. Brothers and sisters, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you. Preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. This most reverend and holy time, Lord and Heavenly Father, we, your humble servants, entirely desire the fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching you, Lord, to grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all your whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of Jesus' passion. And here we offer and present unto you, O Lord Jesus, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice to you, humbly beseeching you that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with your grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy, through our multitude of sins, Lord, to offer anything to you, we beseech you to accept this, our obligatory duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto you, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. And now receive the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds and souls in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. You are blessed. Go forth and be a blessing.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. For more teachings and resources, please visit www.brcc.church.